Welcome, everyone, to the most righteous podcast on the internet, The Real Short Box. My name is Dr. Kevin.
I'm Dr. Donald.
My name is Jarrett, and today we have a special guest. Sir, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Darren Minnell. Coming in to join you guys. I'm telling you, this is really jarring for me at first because, you know, I came into this nondescript building and I was, you know, going levels down into this hidden bunker. And wow, I mean, you guys really, you've really done a lot with the place.
Plus, we had our dicks out when he walked in.
Unsettling. Yes, but in our secret headquarter bunker, this is where we're at, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of what we normally would do, which would be prospecting. But this is going to be a little different. Instead of just traditional prospecting, what we're going to be doing is a little segment that we like to call
"What's in Your Short Box." And let me give credit to our good friends at Spiro's Heroes who suggested this to me, Shant. Thank you, sir. This was an excellent idea.
Yep, and we're gonna get right to it. So let's get started. I think we're gonna go and we're gonna take a peek inside Jarrett's short box first. And let me tell you, there's some dark, sick shit in there.
Yeah, it's
my God, that cover looks very disturbing. It's like a shot up uniform.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the. I would say, as far as my collecting goes, I'm kind of like Kevin Spacey in Seven. Like, it's going to get really weird. Like, I've got journals.
What's in the box?
Yeah, journals just written of shit.
Oh my God.
So I could not go to this one. There's a Punisher series from the 90s, and the issues are Punisher 1661, and it's the Punisher, Frank Castle, teaming up with Luke Cage.
I like how it says, plus Cage.
Plus Cage.
And yeah, he wasn't calling himself Luke Cage then. It was just Cage.
And then the other one says Crackdown, and I'm guessing they were fighting crack dealers. Because
big deal in the 80s.
I'm sure Punisher killed many of them.
Now, what you don't notice at first is, so you have, in Punisher 60, you have Luke Cage's yellow outfit with the chain and everything, and Punisher's skull outfit in the back with nobody in them, and they're all shot up. And then the front cover, you have a close-up of two African-American men. One is Luke Cage, and the other is the Punisher, Frank Castle.
What?
Now, why?
Why is he in blackface?
So you start out with a little backstory. I'm not going to lie, I haven't read this issue, and I'm just opening it up, and it's a gold mine of craziness. So obviously the Punisher, he got into some Punisher business. You know, he was shooting up drug dealers and in jail and out of jail. So he gets out, and he has a friend of his do his makeup to make him look different. And she takes the bandages off because he was cut up from a fight. And she says, "You said you didn't want anyone to recognize you." And it cuts to Punisher looking in the mirror. His skin is black, as if he was an African American. And
that's some makeup job.
Yeah, some makeup job.
How did he not notice when was she like, "Oh, let me just apply"? Is she just applying it over like the shirt that he's wearing, or
yeah.
is it like she took the shirt off and did it?
I get, because his hands are black, like everything's black. So essentially, this is Punisher in blackface.
Is it wrong of me, by the way, to all of a sudden want to be watching Birth of a Nation after looking at this?
Oh, maybe.
Well, which version?
That is a D.W. Griffith reference, you sons of bitches.
There's also the Nate Parker version.
Yeah, and you think, I thought I was the intellectual lightweight here, but wow, you guys are up on it, man.
So right away, what you notice is, so what they're also showing is, and I believe they did this with Lois Lane. Didn't they make Lois Lane black?
Yes.
And it was a controversial.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
So right away, they're showing what it's like to be a black man. I think he's in Chicago. And which is actually relevant now, because there was the guy who was, his back was broken in the back of the truck or something like that.
Actually, that was Baltimore.
Was that Baltimore?
Michael Jordan.
Something happened. Chicago has some shit.
Especially on the south side, unfortunately.
He's right. The only black guy I know in Chicago.
So right away, he's driving a car, and he's black, so he's driving while black, and he gets pulled over by the cops, and I'm reading the line, "What you doing in this fine car, boy? You were all over the road, boy. You on drugs?" So we got some racist cops. Immediately, the next panel is them beating him with clubs, but he is saved by Luke Cage. So
Luke Cage.
My God, they give him the Rodney King treatment. That is evil.
I'm like, 3 pages in, he's getting the, of being black, he's getting the Rodney King treatment. So it's actually a pretty important story on some levels, and then sadly relevant still.
You know, I think honestly the purple buildings are what drove them nuts, because I'm seeing purple buildings everywhere. I've never seen like purple skyscrapers, but that would make me maybe a little violent myself.
Who colored this city?
You know what, come to think of it, you're right.
Purple
why,
town.
Why are they
probably
purple?
The purple man, guys. Come on.
That's true.
He's like, I want my city purple.
But it looks like right away then they become...
crack dealers.
No. I think they go to kill crack dealers.
Oh.
Hmm.
But I'm trying to see if he realizes it's...
Hey, why are they always...
Has advertised it for the Great Eastern Convention.
That's right.
Why are they always hanging in slums? There's no high-end crack dealers anywhere in these comics.
Nope.
Because you've got to start out with the coke problem if you're rich, and then you dive
down. Work your way down.
Yeah, you got to cut it with that baking soda and whatever else.
So, yeah, Punisher 6061. The Punisher goes black, apparently.
But my curiosity, Jared, is would you recommend these books just by perusing through them?
Yeah, because you could probably get these for like 50 cents.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure. Yeah. And once you go black, you don't
go back.
Yeah.
Nor should you.
I obviously want to read the story and see what other, like, if they delve further into...
Yeah, I think the three of us have that run.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to all sit down and read it tonight before bed. We're going to tuck ourselves in.
I'm sure that will come up, yeah. So that'll be my first little package first. Kevin, you want to bring something up? What you got?
I got a classic... Silver Surfer.
Oh my god. Who did the artwork on this? Guys, this is a beautiful. Oh my god. I'm so excited. Wait.
Rob Liefeld? I don't think he's even born yet. When this came out.
He created the Silver Surfer.
John Buscema.
I love the Buscema.
And guess who's in the first page? Mephisto.
That's a beautiful. Oh my god.
I will actually say John Buscema and Sal Buscema are some of my favorite artists. I love those
guys.
Look
at that.
See, I'm more drawn honestly to the advertisement cuz it says this is the end of a skinny body. So now instead of looking like a skinny guy, you get to look with a guy who looks like his pecs are all pulled and out of place and I'm just not feeling it.
He doesn't have any nipples.
Oh my god, you're right. He has no nipples at all.
2 weeks later, he's lost his nipples.
This can't be real.
Well,
how can a man not have any nipples?
Yeah, I think that, honestly, it looks like his left arm is considerably longer than his right. I would not be going onto that supplement.
You're right.
What's funny, though, is all these ads back then were like, stop being too skinny. Now everybody's like, I'd rather be skinny because we're all fat.
That's true.
And it's a Joe Weider ad for those of you who, he's a big muscle game guy.
Mephisto's so cool.
He's not technically Satan. Oh, he is a demon, though, right?
Look at the purple Eiffel Tower. What is purple?
Purple building here. And look, it's Nick Fury. And Dum-Dum Dugan.
It's the white Nick Fury, the original.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff Fury.
That's my Nick Fury. I'm sorry. I got all weird like that.
Speaking of which, how do you think David Hasselhoff feels about the new Baywatch movie?
Is he in it?
I think he's not. He doesn't have like a joke part.
Well, he might have like a joke part, but I'm curious. How do you think he feels about it? Because he put his heart and soul into that.
He's probably like, you know what? You just like destroyed 20 years of my...
You know what I'm sure he did was he went in to the executives and he said, gentlemen, some people stand in the darkness. I'm going to stop there. But yeah, he would probably quote them.
By the way, don't be fat.
Introductory offer, good for a short time only, reducing plan with Cal X. And so they do have
weight
wedding
rings
there.
For sale too? What's this all about?
1,000 look for $27. Yeah.
Wow.
And another muscle ad.
Well, he has nipples this time.
I guess they were banking off of the fact that like kids were reading these going like, I wish I was a superhero. And they're like, well, you kind of can be with no nipples and big pecs.
Get this
there's a lot of ads.
Get
in
these
here,
pre-steroid drink.
I think still all kids that are reading these books are probably want to be a superhero. That's why we read superhero books. So.
You want to be jacked muscle.
Jacked muscle.
This is something. Guys, this is... I just want to talk about this cover one more time.
Go ahead.
Did we say what issue it was?
Number 17.
It's number 17. And it's beautiful, bright red cover. It's almost nice like a reddish orange, but it's bright, beautiful. It's got this yellow Silver Surfer symbol on there, his name. It's got the purple off to the side with the 15-cent price and the Silver Surfer on his board. And it just looks like, in the middle here on this, it's the Silver Surfer on his board. He's destroying a couple things. Nick Fury is standing in the background with Dum-Dum. And Silver Surfer's like, there's no other choice. It's S.H.I.E.L.D. or me. The Surfer must kill. And then Nick Fury, of course, is saying, gun him down. He's out to smash us. So it's just like... the Silver Surfer messing things up and destroying shit, and S.H.I.E.L.D. trying to...
Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah.
Now, what I always wondered... No, not always, but I'm wondering right now. I'm looking at these, and we've had podcasts where we talk about the history of comics, and these iconic fonts of, like, the Silver Surfer, the way it's written. I wonder how much time the artists, like, spent on those, because there's something you're going to see every issue.
I'm sure some time had to be spent on it.
Oh, no, I don't doubt a lot. I'm saying like, the Punisher, you know, I'm looking at this. Like, there are those iconic fonts, too, that you don't even think about that you see, and you know that's the Punisher. I know that's the Silver Surfer, you know? Like,
I'm particularly a fan of this little Scottish Highlander right here.
Yeah.
Is that Dugan?
Yeah, that's
Dugan. Dugan.
Dugan's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, let's have a potato.
Yeah.
Now, would you be offended if they brought Dugan into the MCU? If he's like backing up, you know, the current Nick Fury, if there's some capacity in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, he was in kind of in the current, but not really.
Not really.
I mean, he was in the past in Captain America.
Right.
The first one.
But like
and he was in an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. But like a grandson, you know.
Or Agent Carter. I don't remember which.
That might be a Nazi salute right there.
What, Black Bolt giving the Nazi salute while he's flying?
Well, I think he's a blast coming off. He's shooting. Shooting in the back.
He's. Do you think he's aiming for his rear end and just got over the thigh?
And I don't know if you're flying if you can Nazi salute technically. I think it's. It just looks like you're taking off.
Well, much to the surprise, I've never tried.
Oh, well, you know, what are you gonna do? This one's number 18. Silver Surfer fights alone against the unbeatable Inhumans. So it's got all the Inhumans. Black Bolt blasting Silver Surfer in the back, and
it's not very nice of him.
Yeah, and then it's got Medusa and who's that?
Gorgon.
Gorgon, thank you, and
Karnak.
And they're all, like, down there watching. They do a lot with the little guys down at the bottom just watching.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I had a glass of Karnak before I came here.
How was it? Was
yeah,
it
so I can smell it
nice
on your breath.
Nice blend of Karnak.
it was very purple building in flavor.
It was rich and oaky and purple building.
Well, since we're on the silly side, I guess, right now, I'm going to go with something that I like to, and that a lot of people like to call super dickery. That's basically you find a Superman comic with the cover where he's just being a complete ass. And this one is Superman starring in Action Comics number 499. At the top it says, "What will the Man of Steel do as the world turns for the last time?"
Something dicky.
It's got a house in the background. It's got people trying to cling on to Superman, pulling on his cape, on his leg as he's flying off. And one gentleman is saying, "The world is coming to an end, Superman. Take us with you." And then another guy's hanging on his side, and he's like, "You can't leave Earth without us." And then another dude lost his hat and is reaching. And he's like, "Don't abandon us to our doom." And, of course, that's what Superman's trying to do.
My favorite is the guy hanging on to him as he's flying off, and Superman's pushing his face away. Which, you would think, it wouldn't take much for him to just be like, and then that guy's spine just rips out
right,
of his head.
Yeah.
He's just like, what?
Well, he's trying to go, he's like, please, citizen, please, get off my cape.
You're
dirty in my cape, kid.
In space.
Like when you're trying to save a spider and you don't want to kill it.
But think about it, though. Like, if it came down to no other option, right? He can live.
Yeah.
And all he has to do is just fly out of the off the planet Earth. He can't take anybody with him.
Except
everybody
Lois.
Would
That's
die.
True.
No, if there was no suits or anything else, everybody would die.
That's right. True. If he actually flies away, that guy's dead. So.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago when I actually finished Superman 3 for the first time.
Jesus.
I'll take the one with Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
I think that's worse than 4.
I'll tell you right now, one of the things is, one of the most underrated scenes in Superman lore is when Superman becomes a jerk. I was absolutely enthralled by that.
He's at the bar, he starts growing some facial hair.
It's the peanuts, right? He keeps flicking the peanuts into the glasses.
And then he fights himself, though, right?
Yeah, he fights himself because he doesn't care anymore.
That.
You know, and I was just like, oh yeah, that is some super dickery.
Definitely. And I have one more piece of super dickery here.
Yes. This one's very good and suggestive
this
at the
one's
same time.
The best one yet.
Yeah. Why was there so many covers of Superman being a dick?
I don't know. This is Superman number 293. It's got Superman standing in front of a fire hydrant that's open, and it's spurting out water in between his legs. In the background, right under the title Superman, is a lady passed out on the ground. And then another looks like a gentleman dragging himself over. There's another gentleman to the left dragging himself over. There's a dog that looks like he's dead. There's some guys begging with a can that says at beans or something. And then Lois is pulling on his cape, on Superman's cape, and she's tugging and she's saying, "Superman, we're all dying of thirst. You must let us drink the water." And Superman stoically stands there with the water flowing between his legs.
Flowing between his legs. Like
says,
pissing on him.
"Nobody gets a drop."
And this is Superman number 293.
Yep. And in the corner it says, "We challenge you to guess the startling secret behind the miracle of Thirsty Thursday."
Wow. Thirsty Thursday. Wow. So there's Taco Tuesday.
And Thirsty
Thursday.
There's
Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah.
Wow. This might actually be the best cover I've ever seen on a book. And let me tell you, the one that had it beforehand was a Winnie the Pooh story where he is in between, like, the wall of one of his homes with his butt sticking out, and the title of the book is Pooh Gets Stuck.
That's a good
one. Wow. And this works out. Today is Thursday, so hey, this is perfect.
This
the
is
miracle
thirsty.
Of Thirsty Thursday.
So is he trying to get some water in his empty
bean
can?
Yes.
He's desperate, man.
What's all that got?
Why do I have a feeling this was probably written around the time of a drought? Because, you know, you can really alert people a lot more to what you do. Oh, I can relate. No, Superman won't let us drink, and Superman can be an allegory for another person.
I will read this to my roommate.
About wasting water?
Who can't seem to take
Yeah, what's up with all the 20-minute shower things? Do you get charged for water here?
No. No, I just...
It's on principle, right?
But does he take an average shower of like 1 hour and 15 minutes or something like that?
Average of about 45 to an hour.
Oh, wow. When do you run out of hot water? Because at some point, you have to run out of hot water.
You would think, and I would hope, but no, not the case. That's it for me with my Super Dickers. What do you got, Jared?
So when I was growing up, my Bibles, because I wasn't religious.
Why not?
No. I believed in the comic book gods, and my Bibles were the official handbook of the Marvel Universe.
They have Jesus up there in Lucasfilm Valley?
Oh, they had him, but I denied him because I had the Red Skull.
Oh my God.
No, that doesn't sound
right. Was estás?
Yeah. So... These books came out in the 80s. They were literally like just like encyclopedias for the superheroes. And then they did like an update 89 where they kind of brought in the new characters that were introduced and told their histories. Sometimes it told where they were born, what countries they were from. But after the first run, they did the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, Book of the Dead Deluxe Edition, where they did all the characters that had passed away in comics. Now, what I thought was funny about this is when I just bought a run of these, you know, not too long because I was... feeling nostalgic and I wanted to get them again. And I was like, I wonder how many of these characters have come back, because comic book characters always come back. It's very rare that they stay dead. And like right on the cover, I could already see one that's...
Drax?
I could see a bunch. Drax the Destroyer, who we know is back. So let's see. Destiny, I believe he stayed dead. Jean DeWolf, dead. So far we're good. Dr. Lemuel Dorcas.
What kind of name is that?
Terrible one. Hence he's dead.
Dr.
Sun, dead. Dorma, dead. Okay, so far we're doing... Dracula?
Never dead.
He came back. I know Doctor Strange killed him. He came back like 1,000 times. So, right there. There's our first one.
Yeah, and then Dracula gets an untold story from Universal.
That's true. Drax the Destroyer? Came back, not dead. Eel? He's dead. Egghead? I still believe he's dead. The Enforcer? Dead. Executioner? He came back, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're just fucking lying to me, Marvel. Fafnir, the dragon. Yeah, I'm sure he stayed dead. Amal Farouk, Shadow King. Did not die. He came back. Firebrand, dead. That Fool Killer is dead. Jacob Fury, fuck if I know. He's probably still dead. Gamora.
Alive.
Gargoyle, I think he came back.
He doesn't even look like a gargoyle.
No, he just looks like Quasimodo.
Yeah, what a dumbass name.
What I love is they show him, because I'll show the pictures of them dying, and it shows a dude who's obviously not that dude in an explosion, but in the same outfit. So was he wearing a mask? What the fuck?
He's definitely alive.
Did the midget grow?
I don't know. Is it Gwar? Gar?
Gwar's a rock band.
Yeah.
And one of them is dead.
Oh, this guy's dead. The Grand Director with a Nazi swastika.
Armband.
Dead.
Wow, good.
Green Goblin.
Which one?
Harry Osborn. No, Norman Osborn.
Still alive.
Still alive, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he came back a million times.
Mm-hmm.
Grim Reaper, he might have come back.
Yeah, I think he's probably alive.
Yeah. Just wanted to see how he paid the price.
Oh. Well, he did remember the original death was pretty badass, actually. The
impaled.
He got impaled on his glider.
Yeah.
Guardian, I know he came back.
Yeah.
From Alpha Flight. Hammer and Anvil, rightfully stayed dead. Two dudes just...
That's sharing a...
That does not look right.
Freaking rope.
Look at this one. Hangman, dead. Look how he's killed, though. He's just like, what an idiot this guy is. And then his scythe is coming behind him. This guy's got... Yeah.
Oh, that's that issue I have. Issue 34, I think?
Yeah.
37?
He had it coming.
Quincy Harker. I'm going to say he's still dead. Agatha Harkness. I think she came back. The old witch lady.
Wow.
The hate monger. Looks like
one and three.
One and three. One and three are both dead. One of the hate mongers was Hitler. What a Nazi shit in this one.
Hobgoblin. Which one? Ned
which
Leeds?
One, exactly. This is Ned Leeds.
Clearly it's Hobgoblin 1.
Yeah. But we were just talking about this. The Hobgoblin was this huge kind of resurgence in Amazing Spider-Man with how cool, like, people really dug him because he was, like, this new goblin guy and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the mystery of who the Hobgoblin was. And it was the biggest blue balls in Marvel history because I think they just, like, They stretched it, and then they're like, oh, and it was him. Or was it? I don't know. And then they changed it, like, 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is actually a superhero obituary. I don't know whether to pat you on the shoulder or make fun of you.
I know.
Make fun of him.
Okay.
Oh, no. These are this is real life, you guys.
The Book of the Dead Necronomicon Deluxe Edition. Mm-hmm. I love this.
That is kind of cool.
So, yeah, I got another. Maybe we'll get to that one later, but yeah. What do you got, Kev?
Ooh, that's yellow.
I got a classic.
Sweet Christmas.
Sweet old Christmas. This is the first issue of Luke Cage, Hero for Hire, number one.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Lord and gravy. Look at that.
Look at that. Look Woo! At that. That angry brother right there.
Oh, man.
With his chain belt. You got cards in the background.
You know how many opportunities I had to buy this book, and I was like, why would I want that? I don't know.
I did want it. I just never picked it up.
Dude, look at that chick's fro.
Hey, man, it's 1970s, man. What do you expect?
Yep, girls, bar, gambling, guns, a police detective, looks like beating on a black man. Sensational origin issue.
Crooked cops.
Yeah.
And they had one of the cops, too, though, like one of the crooked ones. They always made him kind of look like a pig. For real, like they kind of, like, he always kind of had a piggy look to him.
Yeah, that's true. He did. Yeah. Look.
Yeah, look.
You know what other cops look like pigs? The ones in Duke Nukem 3D.
Oh my god, I love that game.
I have it for Xbox One.
Xbox One?
Yeah, I have the 20th anniversary edition.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, wow. Yes. We'll know where you're going.
Beautiful thing.
Wow.
Wow. And once you go black again, you don't go back. What do you got here?
I got another first appearance.
Black cover.
Black Panther.
First appearance. Fantastic Four number 52. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Did you guys see the trailer?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I did.
Okay, what do you think?
I liked it. Unfortunately, there's some others in the community that took it the wrong way and didn't like it.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Black Panther trailer?
Yeah, they felt there was too many stereotypes of Africa, like the guy with the plate in his mouth, that they thought that was like insulting.
But they're supposed to be like,
but that's a thing. Yeah. That's a thing.
I mean, I
thought it was awesome.
Okay, what is your opinion as a young black man?
I liked the trailer.
You liked the trailer. There we go. It's official.
There. That's it. That's for all black people in America. I thought the trailer was awesome. I thought it looked really cool.
That music, man.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. That was great. It just fit perfect. I loved it.
There's one thing I don't like about the trailer, and that's the release date. So I'm a little skeptical.
February?
Because after working in a movie theater for years and years and years, February is a dumping ground.
That's true.
So.
But if anything, Deadpool. If you look at what Deadpool did, and you also look at what 300 mm-hmm. did when it came out, and it set a precedence for Warner Brothers to set some of the earlier tentpole films in March, near the end of March, too, because they would do so well. So with the success of Deadpool now, I think that's why Marvel's like, you know what? I think we can do this. Let's throw this out.
Although one can argue, wow, isn't it? Why did it put it in Black History Month? Why has it been in February?
Oh, that's true, too. I didn't think of that.
Fun little trivia question for you guys. Do you know what the highest grossing film ever released in February is?
Give me a second. I should know this.
Older film or newer film?
It's older relatively by now, but it's not really that old.
You would have thought Deadpool at this point would be with the label, but you know what? Maybe it is.
It's obviously Die Hard 2, you guys.
That sounds like Lambs. It would be.
You get one guess.
All right, never mind.
Wait. Let me guess. What is that? Lost in Space.
The Passion of the Christ.
That's right.
Okay.
You're right. 2004. You're absolutely right. Passion of the Christ. I like $400 million.
Maybe it's the month of, like, that they just throw, like, let's put out a movie that we don't know what audience we're going to get.
Well, what's really interesting, too, is that when I was working at the movie theater, in consecutive weekends, we had Miracle, which is a great hockey movie, and then The Passion of the Christ, which I lived through 6 weekends of The Passion of the Christ of straight sellouts, and it was not fun.
Was it fun for you?
No.
A lot of holy rollers coming in there.
Well, we had people that were like, They were like nice trying to, reserve two rows of seats. Right. And they're like, bro, you can't be doing that. And they said, oh, yeah, I can. So, like, I it was weird. Like, every group of everybody was showing up for that. I had a rabbi come up and talk to me. Like, and I said, sir, I'm not a reporter. Like, we don't have anything to discuss. Yeah.
I can just help you get your seat.
Yeah, as a rabbi, and like, you know, we I'm a Catholic, and we're cool with the Jews and everything, but I just had nothing to discuss with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nothing, but he wanted to discuss things with me, so.
I'm sure he did.
Well, hopefully you learned something for that. Next time a rabbi approaches you, have respect and have a philosophical 25-minute discussion with him.
Yeah, have a thesis ready.
I always have respect, but you know, I'm a little rusty on the Old Testament. That's just me. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So these are some good old classic books here, Kevin, and thank you for giving those to me. You all heard it here.
He gave you the Black Panther one. I'll take the Luke Cage.
No, I already have a Black Panther one. You take that one. I get the Luke Cage.
All right, I'll take that too. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Kevin.
That's how that works.
Yeah. That's how that works.
All right, so I'm going to go through a couple here that I have that I think you guys seemed a little excited about, and I could be wrong. The first one here is The Avengers number 48.
That looks like the Black Knight on a white horse.
Absolutely is, guys. One of the best characters, heroes in any comic book, and definitely deserving of some type of movie or Netflix series.
Definitely a top 300 character.
Yes. The Avengers. This is The Black Knight Lives Again. We're talking Dane Whitman, guys. We are talking about this badass sumbitch right here.
Wasn't his horse named Aragorn or something like that?
It's Smeagol.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It was like some word.
Wait. I think you added the R. It should just be Aragon, right?
Aragon?
Yes. They were really hoping to capitalize on that one. Ooh, we have something that's almost Aragorn, but it's Aragon.
Aragon.
And it's a dragon.
Was here, but now it's Aragon.
Oh, Donald, do you want to give another plug for Netflix to do a series? They might be listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Netflix, do a series for The Black Knight, because this would be amazing. It would be a medieval tale of a superhero, and that's a spin you can spin.
Yeah.
Again and again. So definitely. One of my favorite books as far as Avengers stories is concerned. It's a great cover.
Yeah.
It's got Hawkeye being kind of knocked out of the way and upside down in the air. It's got, and I think actually, because they're falling, and they were hanging onto the horse, and it looks like they're going to fall on top of buildings or onto the ground. And then it's got Goliath falling. And then it has little Wasp just flying around like, hey, guys, I'm just going to hang out. She looks like she's trying to get out of the way of the horse's hooves for some reason. And Dane, good old Dane, he's just flying through. He's like, F this. I'm going to F some shit up.
He also, for a knight, doesn't know how to hold his lance.
No, you're right.
Why is he holding it that way?
He's not holding it at the hilt. He's holding it like midway.
That's like holding a sword.
At the blade.
It's a little awkward, I will say, yes.
I'm the Black Knight! We don't believe you.
And honestly, guys, think about this. What if it was 1991 and they'd fallen and can't get up?
Oh, zing. That was bad.
That'd be bad.
That was bad. Oh,
ooh,
my goodness.
I like this one, number 57.
Right. Avengers number 57. Behold the Vision. Okay? This cover's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great cover.
This cover's beautiful. You have the Vision standing amongst, like, it looks like he's just passed gas. But he's standing among this pinkish white cloud behind him. And all the Avengers are on the ground below him, kind of choking and falling and grasping at whatever. And the Vision's just holding his left hand out over the smoke and is just, like, so ominous. And the cover's black in the background with this pinkish red smoke. The Vision is all red. The Avengers title is red with white highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And even the off to the side where it says Marvel Comics Group, there's a lot of red there.
Got a psychedelic thing. You know, people who are getting high and reading this book, you know.
See, maybe. I'm not down with this cover. I have one major problem with it. Where is the purple?
Yeah, there's no purple.
No purple.
I'm sure there's purple buildings in it, though.
Yeah, probably inside.
Oh, please.
You gotta open it up.
I couldn't say I've never opened this book.
It's a vision to behold.
Yes, exactly. It's too pretty. I can't do it.
No, that's a great cover. Both of these are, like, iconic, like, first appearance covers, because the, like, main person whose first appearance it is are, like, popping out of the cover.
Yeah. Let's open it up.
Absolutely.
I got some tweezers in the trunk.
Look at the time. I think it's Jarrett's turn.
Yeah, let me see. I'll give you a couple books here. This first one, I love this character. He's one of my favorite mutants, and that is Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man.
The Multiple Man.
Loved his
one of my
costume.
Favorite powers.
Yeah, such a cool power. I think I put him on my dream team for X-Men. Now, what's cool and funny about this book is it's giant-sized Fantastic Four number 4, so it's not... even though he would become more of a mainstay in the X-Men universe and later on X-Factor, it wasn't where you thought his first appearance would be. And it's kind of, it's not like a crazy hard book to find, but it definitely is a hard book to find in decent condition because it was one of those giant-sized books. So the spine is different and all that stuff. It's not like with the regular staples. But one of the funny scenes in this book is they go over Madrox's origin, which... if he has any kind of kinetic force or energy, he can make a duplicate of himself and keep making duplicates. Now, they always, we were talking about this at another time, mutants are, they got their powers at puberty usually.
Yeah.
Jamie Madrox is such an old school, like, origin mutant. So, he got his powers at birth. So, he was born, remember, like, in the old days, they would hold the baby up and smack its ass?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was to get breathing going or, I don't know, or some just kind of fetish thing. But, so the doctor holds Jamie up as a baby, smacks his ass, and another baby appears. So they're like, what the hell is going on?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did that other baby that appear fall immediately?
I don't know. I'm like, he just dropped both of them. Oh, shit. And then four babies are on the ground. Like, oh, my God. And he just started kicking them, and then there's just a whole hospital full of babies.
Kick these babies. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Multiple Man as a villain in the Mega Man video game somewhere.
Seems like a Mega Man character. Yeah, yeah. Multiple Man. And then you get his power, which was always cool about Mega Man.
That's true.
But... no, it's just a cool book. He's a cool character. And I think in it, the X-Men actually try and recruit him. And he's like, nah, I don't want to join you. So then he sends him to Moira McTaggart, which he actually ends up staying with for a while. And you see him later on in the John Byrne run.
I know her. Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
There's one that's ripe for a Netflix cartoon series. It'd be Mega Man.
Oh, Mega Man would be the shit.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't like him going against Boomerang Man. Boomerang Man sucked.
Yeah.
Cut Man and... well, what about Guts Man? Remember Guts Man?
No, I do remember Guts. And
he was
Air Man?
The first one. Yeah.
Air Man?
Guts Man was in the first one. When you beat him, you could pick up bricks and throw them.
Well, you got guts, kid.
I have fucking no idea.
Yes.
Another little book I want to go here. Oh, God, I love this fucking cover. Prince Namor the Submariner, number 5. Watch out for Tiger Shark. First appearance of Tiger Shark.
Front and center.
Yeah, front and center. Such a cool... you got Namor in the background.
It's a pretty blue
swim.
Girl.
This is also a book I think that prospecting-wise, people should look at.
Yeah. Because if they do a Namor film, Tiger Shark's going to be the villain. I think that's pretty spot on.
And a pretty blue girl.
Yeah, and his crotch is heavily featured here for some reason.
Yeah, and flat. Heavily. He's not packing.
Yeah, his leg is wide open. Legs are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Shark always had a cool costume. He was later on a member of the Masters of Evil, which I always thought was cool.
Yeah, it changed colors, though, didn't it? Like, it was like yellow and blue or something?
I think they've changed it a little bit. Yeah, they might have... the hue of it, maybe.
This is such a cool costume, though. Yeah. It looks great, because it looks like teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a mouth. That's a red mouth and the gray. And like, it's just... whoever designed this did a hell of a job.
Yeah. I love the old Namor covers, too. They're just so fucking cool looking.
And I haven't looked at Namor, I'm sorry. I haven't looked at Namor really that much until you started to talk about him. And then I started looking at the covers, and I'm like, wow, these are some really nice covers.
Yeah, there's some great ones.
Just alone for the covers.
Yeah,
it's
I want to get that. I think it's issue 7 or something. It's like the first Stingray, and he's on the cover. It's another cool one.
Yeah.
It's a good 60s cover.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the swinging 60s, man. I just don't remember it at all. I wasn't there.
No. And you got to go a little bit back in time, a little further for yours, right?
Yes, I'm going to go back to the great classical 1950s.
Oh, let me at these babies.
Yes.
Oh, my God, look at this cover.
I love these horrific
covers. Look at this,
covers.
Darren.
Tales from the
Crypt. Now, you can't see it. My balls are on it, but it's Tales from the Crypt.
Number 37.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
these
look, are such cool covers.
Look what's going on in the background.
There's a guy that's trying to bury somebody or something, and it looks like somebody's coming out of their own grave with their own shovel, like basically bones and rotted flesh.
Or was a...
and he's trying to penetrate this guy's... never mind.
Yeah, oh, man. It is highly suggestive.
Part of his skull's missing. There's like moss on it.
There's like a worm coming out of his head or something.
It kind of reminds me of the Stephen King character in Creepshow.
Oh, yeah,
a little bit. One. Yeah,
well,
kinda,
obviously influenced from this
now, was,
book.
Creepshow was a real comic, though, wasn't it? It was another...
yeah, I think it was like a part of
Tales
from... like EC? Was it EC?
Yeah, it was EC related. It was like EC related.
Here's the interesting thing about this is that these books, prospecting wise, are
hard to find.
They're hard to find. They're not the cheapest thing, but they're not always crazy expensive either. Sometimes you can get them decent. You know, we're talking like a 4.0 to a 5.0. You can get one for about $100
yeah,
if you're lucky. And, you know, that's not bad for a book from the 50s.
And they're worth it just for the covers.
Yeah, it's time stamped and it's a time capsule.
Yeah.
This is something that, you know, was extinguished from existence
for
a while.
Book burnings.
Right. They burn these things. Yeah. They wanted to get rid of EC Comics.
Churches preached against these type of books.
The Seduction of the Innocent.
Now, what's cool, too, is we were talking about... So on the cover, it's got the kind of the hosts, right, of the book. It's got the Crypt Keeper, the Old Witch, and the Vault Keeper. But now, if you remember the show, the Crypt Keeper, like that, actually looks like an amalgam of all three of these. Like, it looks more like the Old Witch... A little like the Vault Keeper, but it's called he's called the Crypt Keeper. So it's kind of interesting. Kind of looks
as a kid, I was fooled. I thought it was a girl. I thought it was an old woman.
I hoped it was a woman because that would mean my fantasies were normal.
Yeah, very interesting.
What? Whoa,
yeah.
Whoa.
What?
What's very interesting about these really, really old books, one of my favorite things to do is smell the paper.
Oh, funny. We do that too. Yeah. We get high off the paper.
Yeah.
It is really, like, yeah, I love the history in these books and the nostalgia.
Old newsstand paper.
Hang on, give me that razor. Okay, I'm chopping the book up.
Oh, get high off that.
Feel
thing.
That drip.
That vault of horror.
Yeah,
high.
For real. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I love how you,
beautiful thing.
And I love how you lock these things up too, so you know it just saves the smell.
Yes, it does. So
why is that so scent. Good?
It's yeah, kind of, that is. It's creepy. Kind of like the old chewing gum in those cars that haven't been tasted yet from 30 years ago.
Yeah. Oh no, that's bad. I did that.
That's right, you did do that.
Yeah. I bought some wrestling cards from the 80s.
You ate the gum?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you
did.
Did
it just disintegrate?
Well, kind of.
It's like hard and then it disintegrates.
It got hard and then it just got chunky. It was awful tasting.
Something a female has never said before.
It was hard and then it got chunky.
And it was all chemical-like and... Yeah, so not good.
That was a very wise decision.
I know. This other book that Kevin has here is The Vault of Horror, number 31. It's got a guy with a sledgehammer.
I love this cover.
Just standing over the dude, his head busted in.
What a maniacal look in his face, too. Look at him.
Yeah, they're all, like, horrific. Like, they're all, like, for real, like, legit, like...
But here's the funny thing about it, right? Here's the classic old saying, never judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the people, the adults at that time, had actually read the material in there, they would have realized there were good moral tales being told to children. They would have understood, like, oh, I see where they're going with this. Because basically, people got their comeuppances in these books. Mm-hmm. So someone did something wrong, it came back to haunt them. They ended up paying the price.
Right.
So had the adults and had the Congress at the time and Dr. Wortham had just actually read the stories, they would have said, oh... Right. I get it now.
Yeah, and I see a story in there by Ray Bradbury.
Yes, Ray Bradbury.
Okay.
Yeah, Ray Bradbury. The funny note about that is Ray Bradbury, EC Comics was taking his stories, and they were putting them in comic book form. They were just taking the ideas, the general ideas, and Ray Bradbury eventually noticed this, so he sent them a letter and he said, "Oh, hey, pardon me, EC Comics, you seem to have misplaced my royalty checks." That you were supposed to have sent for these stories that are obviously mine. And EC was like, oh shit. So they sent him a letter and they're like, we are so sorry. Would you be interested in us using your stories in the future? And he was like, yes, fine, if you're paying for them. And so then they started this partnership and that's how they could start putting on the cover. Now, stories by Ray Bradbury, you know, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's smart.
So, I have a couple here I'm going to start out with. If we're going back in age, I'm going to go back. I'm going to step back in time a little bit.
It's early 1952.
I am going to go back to 1952. And in 1952, one of my favorite characters of all times was around and thriving. And this was Airboy. And this was by a Hillman Publication comic company. So... I have Airboy. They don't really say the numbers on the outside. So I do have one of them open here. It's volume 9, number 8 from September 1952. And on the cover, and this is a great comic, on the cover it just says Airboy. And it has Airboy in a cave, or coming out of a cave, with a giant spear, stabbing Darren's favorite colored crab, purple.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking purple.
A purple and, crab.
And the crab is looks like he's trying to put a rope around this character called the Heap. And the Heap, interesting thing, is Swamp Thing and...
Man Thing.
Man Thing before there was Swamp Thing and Man Thing.
He's the original muck monster.
He was a muck monster. And it says on the cover, he's trying to bind him, the crab is, and the Heap's trying to grab and reach for an anchor for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe they're on the beach, I guess. And, of course, an Airboy stabbing that crab with the spear. But it's this Airboy Comics featuring the Heap in another gripping tale of the great black crab of Brittany. Or of Brittany, I guess. However you want to
like
say
Brittany,
it.
Like Brittany, France?
Yeah. And it's a 10-cent cover. It's from September 1952. And this other one has to be a later issue because it's from May of 1953. And this one says, with another exciting Heap story. The Heap's not on the cover. It's got Birdie, which is Airboy's plane, firing on a giant bullet that has cars coming out of it, interestingly enough. Some type of train track with a giant gun shooting a bullet of some sort into the air and a big puff of gray-black smoke
blue cloud
coming down upon them. So it's a very industrial cover, obviously showing the war.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some beautiful pieces of history and something I...
How many issues did Airboy run?
Might have you bury me with. how many issues?
Yeah.
Air Fighter Comics starred Airboy... I think with issue number 9 or 11, I can't be 100% sure.
Yeah.
And that didn't run very long. And it didn't run very long because Airboy became so popular that they stopped Air Fighter Comics and went into Airboy.
Oh, okay.
And then Airboy ran for a bit. I can't remember. I'm not sure how long, to be honest, but I know it ran for a little bit. And he was very, very popular, especially during the 40s and 50s.
Right.
And then Airboy became Airman in Mega Man 1.
Everything ties to Mega Man.
Everything.
Guys.
So with that.
Yeah. Find us, love us, subscribe to us, iTunes. We're on YouTube. You can get the podcast there. You can get it on iTunes, as I said. Rate and review it there if you can. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We are
friends.
Behind you right now.
Yep.
And feel free not to review my performance because I won't read it anyway.
There we go. So with that, I'm Donald.
I'm Dr. Kevin.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Darren.
And we'll see you at the comic shops.